Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf lamed. We're holding roughly 9-10 lines from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara quotes from our Mishnah, Erev Tisha B'Av lo yoichal odam beis tavshilin. On Erev Tisha B'Av, don't eat two cooked foods. And the Mishnah continues on, one should also not eat basar or drink yayin. Those of you that want to see it, Chof Vav Amud beis. The Mishnah says it's about 10 lines from the top of the Amud, Chavav Amud Beis, Erev Tishbav, Lo Yoichel Odom Shnei Tavshilin. Don't eat two cooked foods, Lo Yoichel Basar, don't eat meat, Lo Yishter Yayin, and don't drink wine. Reb Shem Gamliel, Oimer Yeshana, you should make a Shinoi, change your normal
diet.
And the more we'll explain now both the Tanakama, as well as Reb Shem Gamliel, Zokti Gemara, Amrav Yehuda. We have two memories of Rav Yehuda back to back. First one is Rav Yehuda Leishanu, Elamishay Shois Ulemala. This prohibition of having the two tafshilin is only after 12 o'clock on Erev Tisha B'Av, after Chatzos. Elamishay Shois Ulemata, meaning less than 6 hours. If it's, for instance, the morning, and you're eating breakfast at 8 or 9 or 10 o'clock, then you would be allowed to eat the two tafshilin. You can eat a steak if you want. Most people wouldn't, but you could. That's the first Rav Yehuda. The Omer Rav Yehuda, Loishonu Ele B'Seuda HaMafsikba. This Isser of the two Tavshilin and the Boss of the Yayin is talking about the Suda HaMafsekes, the one that is your final Suda for the day before you're going to begin the fast on Tisha B'Av. Aba Suda Sheina Mafsikba, if it's an earlier Suda, then it's mutter, then it's not a problem. And the Gemara says, "Retravai lekula." These two Rav Yehudas work together in sync, and both of them teach us a kula. And that is utzrich. The Ashvin and Mesudah Mafsikba. If we would only have the second Rav Yehuda, what did the second Rav Yehuda say? That you can no longer eat two tafshilin in the Suda Mafsekes. Have a minah fil mishay shoyis ulamata. What happens if a person knows that he's going to be very, very busy on Erev Tisha B'Av, and therefore in the morning already at 11 o'clock, he's going to eat his final Suda before the Tanis. He's going to eat him and eat and eat and really fill himself up to be able to do the best that he can for that day. He might be traveling. Whatever the situation is, he's eating the Suda Mafsekes in the morning. So I would have thought, oh, if the Suda Mafsikba, then he's not going to eat two tafshilin. Kamash Mulon, that's why we have the first memra of Rav Yehuda, Mishay Shois Olamala. It's only a problem if it's after Chatzos. Before Chatzos, you can eat as many tafshilin as you wish. V'yashvina Mishay Shois Olamala. If we would only have the first memra of Rav Yehuda, that you're not allowed to go and eat after Chatzos, I would think this would apply even to your lunch at 1 o'clock, at 3 o'clock. You can eat as many tafshilin as that you are not allowed to eat more than one tafshil because of the fact that it's beyond Chatzos. Kamash Malon, that's why you have to tell us the second memra, Besuda Mafsikba. And therefore, to be over this din of eating the two tafshilin, it has to be a combination of, number one, the Suda Mafsekes, and it's got to be the Suda Mafsekes in the afternoon. If it's the Suda Mafsekes in the morning, this halacha doesn't apply. And if it's a regular Suda after Chatzos, not the Suda Mafsekes, again, it doesn't apply. So you take the coolest of the two Rabbi Yehudas together. And now we have two braises, which are word for word like Rav Yehuda. Tanya Kalishna Kama and Tanya Kalishna Basra. Tanya Kalishna Basra, remember the Lishna Basra is the one that distinguishes between the Suda Mafsikba and Stama Suda in the afternoon. Ha Soyed Erev Tisha B'Av. Im Osed Lisoid Suda Acheres. If he's going to have another Suda, Mutter Lechol Basra V'Lishto Yisya'in, as well as having the two Tafshilin, in that earlier Suda, because it's not the Suda HaMafsikba. V'imlav, however, if this is the final Suda for the day, pre-Tisha B'Av, Asel Lechol Basa V'lishto Yisya'in. So we see very clearly, like the second Tzad, or like the second Memra of Rav Yehuda, the distinction between the Suda HaMafsekes and an earlier Suda. Well, Tanya Kalishna Kama, now we have a brisa like the first Lashon. that distinguish before chatzos and after chatzos. Erev Tisha B'Av, lo yoichel odem shnei tafshilin. A person shouldn't eat two tafshilin. Lo yoichel bos v'liyishti yayin, don't eat flesh, don't drink wine. Reb Shimon Gamliel, oimi yishana. Now before we get back to our halacha of before chatzos, after chatzos, we're going to expand and expound upon Reb Shimon Gamliel's halacha of the shinoi. Om Reb Yehuda keitz mishana, what does that mean to be mishana? If typically he eats two separate tafshilin, he should only eat one. If he typically eats asudim et aganza minyan, he should only have five people. If he normally drinks 10 cups, usually 10 cups of wine at a meal, in other words, cut it down. The med were mamurim. Now we go back to the halacha that we're waiting for. This is all after chatzos. Then everything is mutter because the halacha is like the two Rabbi Yehudas. It's got to be the Suda Mafsikma and it's got to be after chatzos. That's that we say that you cannot eat two tafshilin. Rashi points out we're talking about two separate tafshilin, not one tafshil that is made out of two ingredients. Rashi says, for instance, as we know, there are people that like to have not just a fried egg, they want a fried egg together with some cheese, as well as together with some onions. So if you have such an onion omelet, right, which has in it some cheese, is that deemed to be two tafshilin? Says the second Tosis, no. It's got to be separate tafshilin. Erev Tisha B'Av Yoichel Odom based tafshilin pirish based tafshilin rotzalim b'shtei kederos in two separate pots, in two separate pans. You're going shekoyin oilam achalnu beiz minim shekoyin maishan. That's what people say that they ate maishan, whatever that means. Avol ein lesser lechol tafshil shoisim mibtzolim umigvina umibetzim. If you happen to have such as a cheese onion omelet, that's not a problem. The avagav the ein regil no ilam lechol betzolim chayim. Even though typically most people don't eat raw onions, kiram ebeirav in ochel batzel vihishkim umeis shekoshen lechol guvishol adam kecharavais. If a person were to eat the onions which were not cooked, and the next morning he wakes up and he passes away, don't start asking questions why, because he ate dangerous foods. I don't know that our betzolim today are as dangerous as they were then. Besides, people's diet and the atmosphere and all that is a little bit different, but at least at one time it was considered to be dangerous to go and eat raw onions. So therefore you're thinking to yourself, if that's the case, then cooking onions, that's already one tafshil, and cooking the eggs is another tafshil, so maybe that's considered to be two tafshil. Nobody goes and just cooks onions on their own and just eats onions. You always add it to something. At least you put in either some shuman or some dovish vase memtam. Therefore, any curry tafshil can be lesser habetim shemisimim imahem. So therefore, bottom line is, when we're talking about two tafshilin, we're talking about two separate tafshilin, not when you have one tafshil, which is a mixture of various minim. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara, so we had the two Rav Yehudas, and we had two Brises. I'm sorry?
This was talking either not according to our Minhag, where they ate...
We don't eat the whole week, exactly. Right, right. That's correct.
Or some Indian. And Shabbos is everything goes.
Yeah. Kesudah Shloim B'Shatzoy, like we had yesterday in Gemara. That's correct. Getting back to our Gemara, Zok Gemara Vayter, Tani Idach. Tani Idach is roughly 5 lines before the wide line, 6 lines. Tan idach erev tishvav lo yechol odem shnei tafshilin lo yechol basav lo yishte yain divrei remeir. Like we said until now, the chacham maimer yeshana. The chachamim is like the Reb Shimon Gamliel that we brought before. Memayit bebasav ubeyain. One should go and be memayit. Now the way Rashi learns is that chachamim are telling us two dinim. You have the yeshana, and you should have the memayit. What does that mean? We already had the yeshana. The Brisa previously gave 3 or 4 different examples. If you usually have your 2 tafshilin, take 1. If you have 10 people, take 5. If you have 10 koises, take 5. Make a shinui. That's vis-a-vis the Shnei Tafshilim. Now we're referring to specifically the Basar and the Yayin, and that's why he doesn't use the term Yishana, he talks about Memayit, Chachamim Yishana, Umemayit. Yishana we talked about before. What's the Memayit? Memayit, Basar, Yayin, Ketza. Ketza, Memayit. Em hoye rogel lechol litra basar. If the person normally eats a litter, in other words, a certain volume of meat, yochachatzi litra, he should be Memayit, eat less meat. If he usually drinks a loig, he should only drink a half a loig. Yain. Then ain't a rogel kol lichi. What happens? The person normally either doesn't eat meat or he doesn't drink wine. So then, aser. Then ain't a rogel kol lichi. Aser. Don't think, oh well, since the rabbis allowed me to go and drink a chatzil loig yain, even though I normally don't drink wine at all, but if you can drink it, I might as well chaperain and drink. No. If you don't normally drink, don't drink at all.
Don't we have the practice of not eating meat at all during the 9 days? So,
yes, that's
so,
Brother Shai referred to that a few moments ago.
Yeah, so
our Gemara is not in accordance with that minhag. Okay. Our minhag is more strict than the Gemara. That's absolutely correct. Reb Shimon Gamliel Oimer, Im hoye rogel lechol tznoin oimaliach acher sudas, say harishus biyag. If a person wants to go and eat tznoin, tznoin is radish. But our Gemara is not going to focus on the radish, our Gemara is going to focus on the maliach. Liach means something which is salted, but in particular, as you'll see from the Gemara, we're talking about salted meat. And in particular, we're talking about meat that was already, quote-unquote, old, and they salted it to keep it alive, which means that it was at least 2 or 3 days old, and now they did a lot of salt. I think today they have a fancy name like jerky or something like that. Anyway, so that is permissible to be eaten. Such a strongly salted meat, which is already 2 or 3 days old, at the end of the Suda, this is permissible. And the Gemara is going to tell us a little bit more about this.
That makes it a more difficult fast, I would imagine.
That's up to them, you know. We give people choices in this world, and very often they make silly choices. But
mothers always say, don't eat anything salty.
Mm-hmm. I guess you're right. Tan yidach. Kol shehu mishabat. By the way, what's the reason why you're allowed to eat heavily salted meat after 2 or 3 days? So Rashi says the reason is because the word meat we find by a karmen shlomim. And the karmen shlomim, as we know, you're allowed to eat shnei yomim v'layla echad. And the pasuk says, "V'hanoisar mibsar zevach hashlomim." If you left it over beyond 2 days and a night, it becomes noiser, and then you have to go and burn it, as we know. The lashon of the pasuk is "V'hanoisar mibsar zevach hashlomim." So Rashi says, from this we see that as long as you have the amount of time that you can eat a shlomim, it's still considered to be basar. After that, we don't find that the Torah still refers to it as basar. So therefore, post the 2 or the 3 days, Rashi says, Bezer Gimel Yomim, it no longer has a status of Basar. Since it doesn't have a status of Basar, that's the reason why you're allowed to go and eat it after all. If you want to see this Rashi Ad Kama, Rashi is really going on later on in the Gemara, but it applies to here too. It's about 10 lines before the bottom of the Rashis. Ad Kama have a Basar Gomor, till they have a Basar Maliach. How long is it still called regular, ordinary meat, as opposed to the salted meat, calls manchuhu kishlamim. As long as it's the status like a shlamim, shloi shoa b'molchoi elishnei yamim v'layla echad kizman achil shlamim. Ulhachi nachet kishlamim. Why does the Gemara? Why does Rashi talk about kishlamim? The bizman achil shlamim ashkechon the ikri basa. We find that the Torah calls the interval that you're allowed to go and eat shlamim, the Torah calls it basa dechsiv. On the side it gives another pasuk, then he ochel ye ochel mipsar zevach shlomav. So bottom line is, as long as it's still a shlomim, it's called basar. Tvei, more than that, liyashkan the mikri basar. Shatam nifsal achri beis the gimel yom. The real geshmaka taste of meat already fades and already spoils after 2 or 3 days. So therefore, as long as it's still within that 2-day interval, it's real gishmaka basar. After that, it has the status of maliach, where Rav Shimon Gamliel says, if you normally eat maliach, you can eat maliach now on Erev Tisha B'Av. Tanya, either.
Yeah. Why did you salt that which came onto the Mizbeach? Or did you salt the, in other words, you just didn't draw the blood, maybe, but where do you have Malicha by Shlomi, by the Basar, that is permissible to the Rallam.
I don't think Rashi is referring to halachic case of Malicha. I think he's talking about the practical halacha Malicha. What do you mean the practical? That if a person has meat which he wishes to preserve and he doesn't have a refrigerator or a freezer, if you put a lot of salt on it, it will retain its it will not
support
it. And it's not called meat.
No, that's a different thing. I'm just saying why Rashi is referring to the shlamim buster that was considered. Says that's what they probably did, that they salted the meat, and not from a lack of reason, but from a preservation to preserve it.
Exactly. I remember I was in the Ukraine, this goes back, I don't know, 30 years ago, and it was very, very primitive at that time. It reminded you of Shtetlach of 150 years ago. So we were traveling on the route, and when you passed all the villages, you had long, like laundry lines, but you didn't see clothing. You saw fish hanging down from it in the middle of the street. And people were buying it and eating it, and all of those fish had been there on that line for a week or two or three, but they were still edible because they had been very heavily salted to preserve them. Yeah, exactly. But they were preserved through the strong salt. So the same thing is you can go and also preserve meat by putting a lot of salt. What Rashi is saying is that when you're eating shlamim meat, you can still have fresh shlamim meat the second day, even without putting it into intensive amounts of salt to keep it preserved. It'll still preserve for the first day or two. But after a day or two, after two, 3 days, then you got a problem. It'll really begin to spoil. So that's what Rashi, I think that's all Rashi is trying to get at. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara, first, it's right between the narrow lines and the very wide lines. Tiny idach kol shehu mishum tishabav. Osel lechel basavi osel lishtes yayin. If it's because of Tisha B'Av, you're not allowed to eat meat and you're not allowed to drink wine. The osa lichitz, and you're not allowed to go and take showers. Kosheinu mishum Tisha B'Av, but if it's not because of Tisha B'Av, mutar lechol basar, but lishtos yain v'osa lichitz. What does that mean? What does it mean? This is mishum Tisha B'Av, this is not mishum Tisha B'Av. So Rashi explained, mishum Tisha B'Av means we're talking about the Suda HaMafsekes, and the reason why you're eating this final meal before Tisha B'Av is to give you the final Suda. So that's a Mishum Tisha B'Av. Therefore the words Koshu, Mishum Tisha B'Av, define as a parallel, as a synonym for Suda Masekis. In the Suda Masekis, Vasalichot, Vasalichot, Shishayin, like we said before, and the price just adds, Vasalichot, at this point it's already, you can no longer take a shower. However, Koshayin, Mishum Tisha B'Av, Rashi has two pshatim. Pshat number one is what happens if it's another fast day having nothing to do with Tisha. For the Moshul, it's a tiny tzibur where it had all of the dinim of like a Tisha B'Av, like we had in the earlier Mishnah in our Masechta, that if there was no Gishamim, so then first three and then another three, and then finally the seven really intense Tanesim, where those seven, it was Osir in all of the Inuyim, Achila and Shtia and Rechitza and Sicha, Nila Sasandal, Tasha Shemita, but that wasn't Tisha B'Av. That was because there was a Tzara. There was no Geshem, there was no rain. So that's not Mishum Tisha B'Av. It's Mishum another Tzara. Since it's not a Tisha B'Av dika thing, and therefore it's not an Avelis dika thing, then Mutalechel Basli Shisayin, the final meal before that Tanis Tzibba, which is a 25-hour Tanis, just like the Tisha B'Av Tanis. And therefore it's very similar, if you will, to the Suda Masekis that we eat on Erev Yom Kippur. Well, of course, Erev Yom Kippur is a mitzvah to eat, true. But during the Suda Masekis, everybody eats, or at least everybody's allowed to eat Basar V'Yayin, there's no problem. So any Tanis that you are going to embark on, which is not a Tisha B'Av Dika Tanis, even in that final meal, it's not Mishum Tisha B'Av, but the Lechel Basav Lishri Sayin.
Why is that a Lechel?
I'll talk about that in a moment. That's Pshat number one. Pshat number two, Zotach Rashi, is talking about a Suda that you're eating on Erev Tisha B'Av, but it's not the Suda Mafsekis. And therefore it's not Mishum Tisha B'Av, it's because you gotta eat. Everybody eats every day, having nothing to do with Tisha B'Av being the next day. So when you ate breakfast, you ate lunch that day, before you got to your Suda Mafsekes, in that Suda, it's not a Suda Mishum Tisha B'Av, it's just to preserve yourself that day. That's a Zoyi Zok Rashi. If you look at the Rashi in the middle of the Yomud, Koshu Mishum Tisha B'Av, Kigoyin Suda Mafsek B'Av, like we just said, Koshu Eina Mishum Tisha B'Av, Kigoyin Suda HaMafsik B'Av, a Tainas Tzibur, another Suda on a regular Tainas Tzibur, not a Tisha B'Av Dikatainis, or Inami Surishayna Mafsik Bo on Erev Tisha B'Av. What's the halacha about both of those? Mutal Lechva, Mutal Lishlisa. However, it says, now in our Gemara it says, V'Osel Lechait. In fact, there happens to be another Girsa, U'Mutal Lechait. And as we'll see in a moment, this is going to be a little bit of a hot potato. Let's continue on, we'll get back. Rishmo B'Rav Yosi, Oyma Mishum Oviv, Koshosh, Shemutal Lechail. As long as you're allowed to go and eat. Now in our Gemara it says, Shemutal Lechail Basar. Mutal Lechait. You'll notice that there's an Aleph, and the Aleph takes us down to the Gra, and he takes out the word Basar. And it's not only the Gra, but it's also Rashi. Rashi also takes out the word Basar. If you go to the Rashi in the middle of the Amid, where we had just ended off, Hachig Asinan, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yosi, Ami Mishamoviv, Kol Shosh, Mutar, Le'achol, Mutar Le'achol, V'loi Gosinan Basar. We don't say the word Basar. Kaloyma Afilu Bishas, Suda Hamafsik, Mutar Le'achol, Hoyle Mutar Le'achol. According to this Girsa in the Gemara, since you're still allowed to eat during the Sunnah, we don't eat Basar, but you eat other things. You can act like a vegan during that Sunnah. Most of us, the custom, of course, is just to go and take a piece of challah, a piece of bread, and dip it into ash, etc. And that's usually the entire Sunnah of a Masik. But at least theoretically, you can have a broader Sunnah than that. And therefore, he's saying is, Kosho Shemutal Lechol, as long as you're allowed to eat whatever you eat, as long as you can eat because it's still Erev Tisha B'Av, Mutal Lechol, you're still allowed to go and take a shower, according to this Mandiyama. But according to the other Girsa, which Rashi and the Gra do not favor, Kosho Shemutal Lechol Basar, that would mean as long as you can eat Basar, which would mean
earlier,
either in the morning or even in the afternoon, according to Yehuda, as long as it wasn't the Suda Mafsekas, during that period of time, Mutar Lechait. And then we get to Brother Shai's question. Why is that? I mean, if you can go and eat later on in the day, why can't you go and take a Rechitza later on in the day? And that's why the others attack it, changed the gears before, that when we had in the Tanakam of this Brisa, when it's not Tisha B'Av, or if it's a Suda which is not the Suda Mafsek B'Av, just like you can eat Basa and you can drink wine, other stack of the gears of Mutal Lechait instead of the Asal Lechait. There are new Gemaras with Hagoyes Vetzionim where they change the gears. Anyway, but you see, that's why it's dependent on this from Shmuel Rav Yosi, how late and what is the din of Rechitza. Does Rechitza go as long as Lechol Basar, which would be early in the day, or all the way till the end of the day, as long as you can eat, you could also do Rechitza. Tana Rabbana. Wherever it's noyig ba'aveilus, the same thing applies to Tisha B'Av. Osa b'achilu b'shtia, Rashi comments, we don't mean that, because an ovel, of course, is allowed to eat or drink. We don't tell a person who's sitting shiva, you're not going to eat or drink for the next 7 days. And chas v'shalom, the person will pass away. But this osa b'achilu b'shtia should be in parentheses. But rather, what we're referring to is the rest. Osir, and on the side you see there's an asterisk, we left out one. Berchitza, Ubesicha, Unailis Asandel, Ubatasha Shavita, those are osir to an Ovel who's sitting Shiva. Similarly, it's osir to a person who is on Tisha B'Av. We also likrois batoy benvim mksuvim, polishnois bemishne betalmud ubemedrish, ubahalochas ubahagodes. When it comes to Tisha B'Av, the amount of the quality of the Torah that you're learning is very much subscribed, very much restricted. You're now going to learn from Tanakh, you're now going to learn Mishnayis, you're now going to learn Gemara, Medrash, Halachas, Agodas, Aval, Kairuhu b'makim she'ena rogel likrois, v'shoinu b'makim she'ena rogel lishnayis. You are allowed to learn something from Tanakh that you don't normally learn. In other words, I don't normally learn Echvayis Daniel, you can learn it. Ezra Nechemiah, you can learn it. If you're not rogel likrois, you're allowed to go and be kairi. And you're allowed to go and learn something that you're not rogel lishnois. If I don't normally learn Mesechtas Yevamis, I can go and learn it. What's the reason why? Rashi says, because if he doesn't really get hanoah, it's a tsar huloi. It's difficult. It's a mission zach. If you've never learned before Daniel, or Ezra Nechemiah, or whatever, and if you've never learned Yevamis, gives you plenty of tsar. So if you want, you can go and learn that no problem on Tisha B'Av. This is only the Tanakhama. We don't follow this view, but this is what the Tanakhama says. The Kairin, of course, you can go and read Bekinis. Kinis doesn't just mean the printed Kinis that we say on Tisha B'Av. Kinis is another name for Eicha. So you can go and learn Eicha. Or Eoiv, or Dvarim Haroim Shebi Yermia. There are many parts of Yermia which talk about many tzoris that are going to befall Klal Yisrael, all of that is permissible. Now in our Gemara it says betalin, but you'll see on the side there's another girsa, einon betalin, mishum shenema, bekudesh mishum esam chilev, and this lechayra goes on the Gemara later on. We're going to see there's a machloikas here between the Tanakama and Ben Rabbi Yehuda, legabe the tanoikas shebeis rabban, whether small kindlech are allowed to learn or not allowed to learn. But this bekudesh mishum esam chilev is going back on all of the earlier things that you're not allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av, like Tanakh and Mishnayos and Gemara, because Pikudi Hashem Yishar Misam Chilev, it gives you a simcha when you're learning now the daf. Ein lecha simcha gedoyle mizu, that we can learn this daf so gishmak. And even though today we're talking about Inyani Tisha B'Av, but lemaisa it's gishmak to learn.
What's that other gishmak?
Ein b'tel. Ein b'tel. Said ein b'tel. Ein b'tel. See if you want, you can look down at the base. Oh, the film going. Thank you. So, anyway, look at the gra. Yeah, the gra. Yeah, look at the gra. Number base. The tenoikis shul beis rabban. Einam betaylem. Okay, and then you have the same thing with this asterisk as well. With
that's what I was looking for.
Okay, if you look right underneath the last line of Gemara,
yeah,
you have over the. You see, here's a sarif or rosh. Einam betaylem. The remain. You don't even have in a kara, and then we talk about betaylem. We'll see mitchem shali. Anyway. The reason why you're not allowed to go and learn the normal things that you are accustomed to learn, that you have learned before, that they're gishmak, is all because it's mesam chilev. However, something that you're not accustomed to learning, if you look at, there's a short Rashi right before the Ad Kama, around 12 lines before the end, b'mokum she'ena rogel dekroyth, tekim d'leyoda islay tzara. If he's mutching zah for the first time in Daniel, or for the first time in Yevamis, you're just going to get headaches just learning
Erevin,
Nida, exactly. Any difficult sugya, you're not going to have the happiness, you're just going to go b'tzak. Exactly. Well, it depends. Anyway, getting back to Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says, "Af in a kind of a mokum shein roga likreis, and yeshin a mokum shein roga lishnais." Rabbi Yehuda disagrees on this aspect, and he says, "Even if you're not rogel to go and learn Yevamis or Nido or Erevin or Daniel or whatever, then yeshin a mokum shein roga lishnais. Those things you're not allowed to learn from." Presumably, the reason is because number one, loy pluk. You can say this yom, this nish. Besides the fact that if a person is able to get through a difficult sugya in Yevamis, he has so much simcha. Baruch Hashem, I finally understood. It took me 23 times going through the Gemara, but I understand it now. He's going to be mesam chilev. There's going to be a simcha. So therefore, you're not allowed to learn from those places which you're not accustomed to in Tanakh, and you're not allowed to go and learn those parts of the Torah Shebal Peh that you're not rogel lishnais. But I agree, says Rabbi Yehuda to Tanakama, kairu be'iyoiv, u be'kinis, which is eicha, with v'amaram shemiyon, that I agree with. V'tanakish shebeis rabam, betelem boy, shenema, mishum shenema, bikudi Hashem esarim samchilef. Now, for all those that were goyres in the Tanakama, Rameir, einon betelem, they're goyres over here, betelem. And those that were goyis before betalim are goyis over here, ainim betalim. In other words, it's mutually exclusive. It's not that everybody agrees betalim. One of them holds ainim betalim. And that's why if you go back to that vase that we were looking back before, that goyis agro on the pattern, v'tanoikis shabbos rabbam, in the Tanakam he says ainim betalim, Rabbi Yehuda v'chuli, kein tzarech loimar, v'chein hu barif v'rosh, etc. Shepoyis gimedal Yehuda. So that's the Einan Betelem, and Rabbi Yehuda holds Betelem. So we have a machloikis between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda. Tanakama Taka says Einan Betelem, and Rabbi Yehuda says Betelem. What does he say here in the bottom as well? If you look at the Girsa Sarif Harosh, Einan Betelem by Divra Meir, Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, Af Einan Kairim, Mokam, etc., Betelokish Abbeis Rabin, Betelem by Mishim Shinem, Bekurish Abbeis Rabin, Sam Chilef. So now, there's really a double change over here. It's not only that we're changing the Tanakhama from the word betalim to einam betalim, but we're also taking out all the words mishum shenem because yishav mishar mesam chilek. Because if we hold that tenoikish beis rabban einam betalim, that they're not allowed to be mavatul, so what is mishum shenem because it's mesam chilek? That's not a reason to say einam betalim. But rather we put this at the end of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, betalim boy, why are they, but why do the small kindlech not learn Torah? Even for the small kindlech, it's considered to be giving simcha. So that's why we would take out the shenemar by the Tanakama, we put an einim b'teilim, and Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. He said, no, b'teilim, because even for the kindlach, it's mesamchim.
Maybe that shenemar, the first one, is going back on the earlier three lines above, talking about...
If lulei with the gra and this other girsa, yeah. I would agree with you. But you see, if you go back again to this girsa, sarif arash einim b'teilim boy divra meir, he leaves out the rest. So if you want, you can add hagah on the side to the hagah and say for oydish loymer that it's going on the
reshit.
Very good. We gave right. There's looking more about yerchum basal yishle yayin tana. Aval oichel hu basam aliyach, like we spoke about before. This is the meat that has been salted heavily after 2 or 3 days to preserve it. You're also allowed to go and drink wine, which is fresh from the gas, from the wine press. This is again, this is the Rashi we had before. Shehu kishlam. As long as like it's shlamim, that is considered to be normal basar. Beyond that, it's considered to be maliach and no longer basar. Now we shouldn't think, by the way, that as a result you're allowed to go and drink milk with it. We only mean maybe gabi this din of eating an Erev Tisha B'Av. The last Tosis already tells us, don't think that it's now vegetarian. It's vegetarian liver because it's already more than 3 days. Only gabi this din of eating basar on Erev Tisha B'Av, it's no longer considered to be basar. Continuing on, the Yayin Mikita, what's the definition of the Yayin Mikita? Calls man shehu toises, when it's still cooking, bubbling. Rashi says reseach, it's bubbling. Tony Yayin toises, ain't by Mishim Giloy, if you have bubbling wine, in other words, this is okay. You put the took the grapes, you crush them, the juice went into that large vat, and then it starts fermenting and starts bubbling. During that initial fermenting, bubbling period of time, you don't have to go and cover it up, because the Nechoshim don't drink from Yayin Toises, from Yayin Migitoi. They stay away from that. So there's no Gilei problem. The Kamtis Sosei, how long is that? That's for Gimel Yomim, for 3 days. So for those first 3 days of the grape juice inside the gas, you can drink from that on Erev Tisha B'Av, but of course make sure that it's Chasa Sholem, not going to damage you. Because Rashi says, it's Mishalshel Umazik. It can cause you indigestion and Shoshel, which is diarrhea, etc.
And Giloy, because it's
a Nachash won't drink from that. That's what Rashi says. Ain't Nachash. As soon as the Nachash gets on the scene and sees that it's bubbling and cooking, he says, that's not for me, and he runs away. Sorry, Nachwil?
Not the Nachris, the Nachash.
The Nachash, the Nachash. The last Rashi in the Omid. Ein by Mishum, Gilei she'ein Nachash, she'iseyu, the shlang, the snake doesn't drink from it, ki Yibrach, mesichosei, as soon as he sees it, it's bubbling, he runs away. Good. Right, Omid Yirabarav, ka choyim en hogesh Rabbi Yehuda b'Rabbi Loi. That's the famous Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana in the Mishnayis. Erev Tishba mevi en loy pas chareva b'melech. When it would come, the final Suda Mafsekes, he would go and eat pas chareva, a dried out piece of bread, and he would go and dip it into salt. The Yoyishev bein Tana likirayim, and he would sit between Tana likirayim. The reason, says Rashi, Mokem Menuvel Shemabai is a place which is typically not that clean, in between the Tana Vikirayim.
Ash and dirt.
Yes, probably ash and dirt and schmaltz and schmirachs and who knows what. And therefore, that would be normally a place a person would stay away from, but he would sit there by the Sunnah Masekis. For Oichel Vishoyis Alein, Kitin Shemayin, he would drink some water together with it. V'doyim Ekimisha Mesei Mutal Afonav, and the whole field would be such an eerie feeling, a feeling full of grief, as if Nebuch, his mace is there in front of him, and that's how he would conduct himself, Erev Tisha B'Av, Sunnah Masekis. Tanan Hosam, Mokim Shenoagul Lassim, Malacha B'Tisha B'Av, Oysin. In those places where people are no hate to do Malacha, okay. Mokim Shenoagul Shaloy Lassois, Ein Oysin. But those places that the Minag is not to do, don't do Malacha on Tisha B'Av. B'chol Mokim, everywhere it's the universal Minag of Talmid Chachomim, B'Teilim, Al Talmud Chachom is Mavatl himself. For these purposes, a person is allowed to make himself into a Talmud Chacham. The Maritz Chayit points out that this Reb Shimon Gamliel is coming lafuke his own shita, because earlier on in our Masechta we spoke about making oneself into a Talmud Chacham, and we said before that you're not allowed to. And where was that, Reb Shimon Gamliel? I think Tessa Medbeis, Yunam Medbeis. Oh, Yudam Medbeis. you go to Yud Amidays, you go to Tanya Idach. It's about a quarter down the Amud. Tanya Idach.
Yeah.
Twice, 12, 13 lines.
Loi kala
loi tzalas es atzmi yochad oise. Talmud oise. Divrim Shimon alosa. Shimon Gamliel oimer. Yitaka, not allowed to make yourself with false ears as if you happen to be a Talmud Chochad. Men of Amun Medor Shel Shevach. The people are going to be mechabed you. Oh, sit in the Mizrach Vant. After all, it looks like it's a Talmud Chochad. Ah, but Dovish Shel Tzar oise. If it involves Tzar, that's okay. Vizoch ala toiv. Shein Shvach uloi el Tzar uloi. So that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel that says normally you cannot go and make yourself into a Talmud Chacham if you're really not on that madrig. I mean, if you learn Gan Shas and you're Talmud Chacham, it's a different story. But if a person is an ignorant Amoret to go and put on false ears as if he is a Talmud Chacham, that you're not allowed to do. However, says Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, but if it's for the purpose of fasting, on Tisha B'Av, a person is allowed to, in this respect, say, I'm like a Talmud Chacham, I'm not going to work, because that's part of the inui of the Tisha B'Av, that one should go and refrain from working for all Talmud Chacham, and even if you're not a Talmud Chacham, it's a good idea to join in.
So he's not so sure himself, he's consistent.
That's what Maritz Chais is saying. That the reason why Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is stressing that, because Kadesh Yisana, normally Rabbi Shimon Gamliel holds that you're not allowed to go and make yourself a Talmud Chacham. But if it's for the purpose of Kadesh Yisana to add the Inui to the day of Tisha B'Av, then it's okay, then you can make yourself a Talmud Chacham, like you said before, because it's a Tzar Huloi and not a Shevach. I can tell you from personal experience, throughout my 39 years working as a lawyer, I had two Tisha B'Avs that I had to go and quote unquote do work. First, both of those deals, they never met fruition. Like the Gemara is going to say, if you go and do malacha on Tisha B'Av, ein roya simen bracha. I never saw some bracha with those two times. One time I had to go to a meeting. Our firm was going to make hundreds of thousands of dollars. That it never got off the table, gunished. Nothing.
Did you tell them it was Tisha B'Av? They shouldn't have that.
Yeah, I was there with my senior partner. He was looking at me while I was wearing sneakers instead of wearing shoes.
You were setting the trend, the new fashion.
Yeah, the fashion trend. And then many years later, it was after Chatzos, I was reviewing a document. Gunish, nothing happened. The whole deal died immediately. But anyway, beginning back to Agamar, Tani Idach, Mshavulim, Kala Oichel, Vishoysev, Vitisha B'Av, whoever eats or drinks of Tisha B'Av, Kila Oichel, Vishoysev, Vim Kippur. Tisha B'Av is really hot stuff, Rabbi said. This is big stuff, big time. If you eat on Tisha B'Av, it's like eating Chas HaShalom on Yom Kippur. Zot Yimar, Kiv Oymer, Kala Oichel, Malach, Vitisha B'Av, Ein Roi, Simon Bracha, Le'olim. That's what we talked about before. You do Malach on Tisha B'Av, you don't see Simon Bracha. Rashi says, you don't see a Simon Bracha from that work. Doesn't mean that for the rest of your life you're going to be an Oni Ve'evyon. It's from that particular work that you were doing that day, you're not going to see any Simon Bracha from that. See Rashi on the second line, Ein Rei Simon Bracha, Mi'oisa Malacha, from the Malacha that you do. Doesn't mean he'll never see some Bracha. Hopefully you'll see some Bracha for other work that he does throughout the year, but not from Tishma. If you do malach on Tisha B'Av and you're not misavel, you don't have avelus Yerushalayim, you're not going to be zochet to see the simcha of the rebuilding of Yerushalayim. Shenemar, simcha Yerushalayim v'kivu ba kol avel sisu ita masayis kol misavlim aleha. Who are those are going to be sisu ita masayis to be able to join in the rejoicing and the sussing the simcha? Those that are misabel, but if you're not misabel on Yerushalayim, you're not going to be zoicha to the seeing and enjoying the joy of the rebuilding. Mikan omru, kol misabel Yerushalayim, zoicha v'roi b'simchosa. V'shein misabel Yerushalayim, ein roi b'simchosa. Tana mihochi, kol oicha v'bosar, v'shoi se yayin, v'tisha b'av, olu v'kosu oimer, v'sihi avoy noisam al atzmoisam. Person who eats or drinks on Tisha B'Av, his ovoin is going to be attached to his atzamos, to his bones. In other words, it's going to be a physical defect in his body, not just a spiritual, but that person, unfortunately. We had in our Mishnah that Rabbi Yehuda was machayev kviyas amita. Now, kviyas amita, there are two aspects. What Rabbi Yehuda is saying is, number one, don't sleep on a bed, but sleep on the floor. Number two, the regular mitzvahs that you typically sleep in, turn them upside down. And the Gemara Mishnah will see in Moyed Katan that in fact was the initial minhag of the Avelim, that an Ovel was not allowed to sleep in a bed, he had to sleep on the floor, and they did Kriyas HaMita, they used to go and turn the mitas upside down. We are not knowing that today, as we all know, and the second Tosis tells us the reason why. Halfway down the Tosis, for in the Dechashin Lekshofim, Lo Yavdinan Kviyas Amita Vafil Ba'Avel. Rashi, Tosis leaves out a couple of words, because Tosis in Moed Katan says that the reason is because our Goyish Shechenim are going to see through the window how the bedroom is all upside down, all the beds are upside down. And they're going to think that the Jews are
Kishif,
are in, involved in, engaged in Kishif, in black sorcery, black magic. When you ever see something like that turning over beds, it looks crazy. And therefore, that's why we discontinued it, so they shouldn't suspect us of Kishif.
But why don't we mevatel a custom because I mean, are we worried about pogroms or something? I understand it's...
Yeah, it could be. They'll say that we're a bunch of sorcerers. They'll want to execute all of us. Yeah, exactly. Anyway, so getting back to Gemara, so we're not noyik. But in the times of Chazal, they were noyik, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda says, back to our Mishnah, where is Gemara quoted? Yeah. Rabbi Yehuda was machayv people to sleep on the floor, and to turn over the meat, and the chachamim were not masking. Tanya, Amru loy Rabbi Yehuda, lidvarech, let me ask you, Rabbi Yehuda, what about ubreis and menikos? You have a woman who is uberes, who is pregnant. You have a woman that's menika, that she's nursing a baby. Matei elen, you can tell me they too have to sleep on the floor, and they too have to do kriyas hamita. Says Rabbi Yehuda, come on. I'm only talking about a yuchel, a person who's able to. Avada, ubris, manikois, achwai, sikainim, achoyla, avada nesh. We're talking about a normal person. Tanya mihaki, moid Rabbi Yehuda l'chachom, misha ain't a yuchel. The Rabbi Yehuda agrees to the chachom, like we just said, if you're not able to, if you're ubris, manikois, a yachoyla, a person's weak, whatever. Avada, you sleep in a bed. And the Chacham agreed to Rabbi Yehuda that if you're able to, you should turn over the mita and sleep on the floor. If that's the case, my benayis, everybody's agreeing. Everybody agrees, b'yuchol, kviyas hamita, ain't a yuchol, no kviyas hamita. And it sounds like from our mission that there's a machlokes. Rabbi Yehuda machai b'kviyas hamita. They didn't agree. What do you mean they didn't agree? They agree on everything. But yuchol they agree, and ain't a yuchol they agree. So what's the machlokes? All the mitas which are not being used. Oh, do you have to turn those over? In other words, a person married off his children, he has some extra mitas, or for that matter, he has a guest room and he has extra mitas. So do you have to turn those over? In that case, Rabbi Yehuda says, yes, you do. And the Chum say, no, you don't. Get aside, like in London, Bryce, Kisha Omer, Likvais, Amita, Loi Mitas, Abuvaru, Koifa, says Rabbi Yehuda, Ela Kala, Amita, Iskulanu, Koifa, everything you have to go and turn over. And all we had in the Bryce with the Chacham unmasked tribute is only B'yuchal, but not the other neutral beds, the Shadish. So that would be the Machloikas, the Gabe, beds which are neither being used by Yuchals nor Lo Yuchals, Stam, do you have to turn those over or not? What's aloch amarova? Hilchas akitani didon v'lehoydu lechachamim kol iker. The halach is like our chachamim, not like Rabbi Yehuda. You don't have to do kviyas hamita, and the halach is not like the brayse that we were quoting before. The second brayse says that the chachamim agreed to Rabbi Yehuda v'yochel. V'lehoydu lechachamim kol iker. They didn't agree at all. Not like that previous brayse, and the chum hold and makes the difference. Yochel, ain't a yochel, neutral beds, you don't do kviyas hamita at all. That's the halacha.
Where did they sleep then?
Where did they sleep?
On the floor.
They slept on the floor.
You mean a contributor did kviyas hamita, slept on the floor. And that same thing by Avelim, not only in Tisha B'Av. Avelim, the whole Shiva, they slept on the floor, not in the mita. I mean, even today, there are people that are knowing to do discomforting things when they go to sleep. They remove their pillows. They just sleep without a pillow. Some people go and put rocks in their feet, or put rocks underneath their head or underneath the pillow. Anyway, different menhagim and things like that. Getting back to Yomar Mishum and Gamliel, you come to Israel. Oh, now we come to a happy ending, so to speak. Until now, we're talking about Tisha B'Av and Mishnechnes of Matan Besimcha. Amar Mishum and Gamliel, you come to Israel. Chamish Uzbav Yom Kippurim. These are the two biggest Yom Tov in my year. I can understand why we call it a Yom Tov. Mishum de Isbe Slicha Umachila. Yom Shenitnu Bay Luchis Achroinus. After all, this is the final day of the Yimei HaDin. If you come out smelling like a rose, Baruch Hashem, you are signed and sealed for a good year. A person should be very, very happy. As well as that's the day that historically we got the Luchos HaAchronos. We spoke about that a little bit in yesterday's Gemara. The Luchos HaRishonos were, of course, given on Shavuos. And then Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim for 40 days. He came back at the end of 40 days, which was on Shavuos and Betamiz. He saw, unfortunately, everybody was celebrating with the Egel. And then he broke the Luchos, and that was the first reason for the five calamities on Shavuos Betamiz. Then Moshe Rabbeinu went up again for 40 days to Mispal for Klal Yisrael, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to Chas V'Shalom destroy the whole nation, Rachman Litzlan. And Moshe Rabbeinu was Baruch Hashem successful in stopping HaKadosh Baruch Hu's wrath against Klal Yisrael, and that was right before Chodesh El. He had 40 days to Shavuos Betamiz. He gets to the end of right before El, and now we have Chodesh El, the whole Chodesh El, and then another 10 days to Yom Kippur. That was the third 40-day period that Moshe Rabbeinu was up in Shemayim, and then Kadosh Baruch Hu said that I give you a slicha, salachti kidvarech, and he gave him the Luchos HaAchronos on the day of Yom Kippur. So that's why it's a grace of Yontif. So I can understand that that's a Yontif. El tu ba'av ma'i, what's so special about Chamisha Nusim ba'av? Now the Gemara is going to go through six or seven different reasons why Chamisha Nusim ba'av was very, very special. We'll start on them, and we're going to finish in Mi'at Hashem tomorrow in the middle, because otherwise we'll have nothing to learn for tomorrow. Is Oktimar, Mishlam Yom Kippurim, we already said. What about Tu Ba'av Ma'i? Am Rav Yehuda Meshmul. Yom Shehutru Shvatim Lovoy Ze V'Zeh. From that day and on, they allowed the Shvatim to intermarry Reuven to Shimon, and Shimon to Levi, and Levi to Yehuda, etc., etc. What do you mean it was prohibited until then? Not for everybody, but for some people. My drosh, what was the drosh? The adav shetiva Hashem lebnoi slavchad leimar, batoy beinechem tiel enoshim, ach l'mishpachas peis aviyem tiel enoshim. What was that all about? The bnoi slavchad come to Moshe Rabbeinu, and they say, Moshe Rabbeinu, we got a big problem. What's the big problem? Our father passed away, and unfortunately left no sons. And if there are no sons, does that mean that we don't get any Yerusha, just the five daughters? So Moshe Rabbeinu said, you asked a very good question, and he asked Kodesh Baruch Hu, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu said, "Kein benoy slavcha doivrois." Yes, if there happens to be a son, the son yashins. But if there's no son, avad yerusha goes to the daughters. And then afterwards, benoy slavcha were celebrating, but the people from that shevet to which the benoy slavcha belonged, they were very upset, and they said to Moshe Rabbeinu, "You know what's going to happen? Eventually these young ladies are going to get married. They might marry to people from Reuven and people from
Reuven, weren't they?
Okay, you can check it out. They're going to go and marry one of the other Shvatim to which they did not belong. And guess what's going to happen? Mm-hmm. All of the five Chalukim that these five women have are going to go and change from our Shevet to another Shevet. Moshe Rabbeinu asked the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and the decision was made that they can only marry within their shevet. You got to stay within your own shevet.
Even though the land goes back in the
Yovel. Even though it goes back in the
Yovel. But who's
going
to go to?
Not for Yerusha.
That is only vis-a-vis if you have a sale, or if a person was Makdish. If you're talking about a person, however, that owns the property,
Torah
Yerusha, then he's going to own it forever. So if the husband or the children from that other shevet are going to yarsh these women, then it's going to stay with them forever and ever, and therefore you can have this large shevet. Let's take Reuven, for instance. You'll have five pockets in Reuven. A shtickle belonging to Shimon, a little bit belonging to Levi, a little bit to Yehuda, a little bit to Yisachar. You're saying Levi did not have a Yerusha. We don't have to go through all the Hilchot Yerusha now.
Shai is looking it up.
Which tribe was
that?
Yes.
That was for only one generation.
Oh, that is the point. That's the point of our Gemara. Initially, it was intended to be forever. But what happened was they changed it on Chamisha Musav, and that's the first reason. Yoim Shehutu Shvat and Lev is that not that they were not allowed to marry until now. It's the Benoit Slavchad people. That's okay. The halacha of
of the Bnei Tzlochar and others similarly situated, where a person only had daughters and had no sons, this rule applied only for one generation, as you said. That's why it says Zeh Hadavar Asher Tziv Hashem. It's only this door and not future generations. Rashi says Zeh
Miutu.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good. So it was Menashe. Anyway, so Rashi says Zeh Miutu. It's only that generation and not future generations. When was this new law established? On Chamisha Usvav, and that's the first reason why it's a tremendous yomtiv. It was the day that they allowed Shiv bin Yamin to return to Klal Yisrael. This is talking about the terrible, terrible story of the Masam at the Pelegish Begiva, where it turned out that Gans Klal Yisrael fought against Shiv bin Yamin, and Shiv bin Yamin was almost totally, totally decimated. It got to the point that people were so disgusted with the Shiva bin Yamin that they were not willing to do justice to those hoodlums that went and Chasajon Nebuch, were Ma'anis, this Nebuch, this poor young lady, the Pelegish Begiva. So because of that, they decided we're going to go and let the whole Shiva bin Yamin just expire and become extinct on its own. Shem, it says in the Pasuk, the Ish Yisrael, Nishba Mitzvah Leimar. Ish Bimenu Le'itim Bitel Bin Yamin Le'isha. We're not going to allow anybody to go and marry into Bin Yamin. Therefore, Bin Yamin, they're just going to pass away on their own. Another generation, there won't be left. My Derosh, so how did they go and change it? Avarav, they learned, Ish Mimenu V'loi Mivanenu. Taka, our generation, we're not going to allow anyone to marry into the Binyamins. However, our children we will allow. So therefore, they changed that. When did that change take place? Once again, on Tubav. Next, the Omar Rabbi Yochanan Yom Shekolu Boy Mese Midbar. That's the day that the Mese Midbar stopped dying. The Omar Mar actually called Mese Midbar, they hired Dibar in Moshe. Now, what does this mean that they stopped dying? So there's an interesting Rashi and Tosis who tell us the following. We know that as a result of the Meraglim, there was never a gzeirah against all the Yidden that lived in the time of the Midbar between the ages of 20 and 60, that they're all going to go and die, and none of them are going to go into Eretz Yisrael, with the exception of Kolev and Yeshua. But otherwise, everybody was supposed to die. So when did they die? So Rashi and Tosis both bring a Medrash Matei Yerushalmi that they didn't just die throughout the year, they all died Tisha B'Av time. And what happened was, they would all, Erev Tisha B'Av, they would go out into the cemetery, each went and dug out a caver for themselves, apparently all the 600,000, and then they would go to sleep that night. They didn't have to do Kfiya Samita because they went and slept in the caver. And the next morning there would be an announcement, there would be a cruise. Whoever is around, Yibodlu Chayim and Amesim, whoever is still around, get up. And Baruch Hashem, the first year out of the 600,000, then every year, if you take 600,000 and you divide it by 40, gets you to 15,000. But it wasn't 40 years, but it was only 38 or 39 years because the Mas Meraglim was in the second year. So therefore, Rashi and Tosis used the expression 15,000 and Prutrut, and a little bit more, in other words, and a fraction. So the first year of the 600,000, approximately 585,000 got up, and 15,000, Nebuch, the Chevra Kedisha had to go and close up and to finish off the burial. That was the first year. And then the next year, 585,000 went into the ground. And 570,000 came up.
That's dramatic.
Yeah, very. So from year to year to year.
You know, the husband would say, it's nice knowing you. And
exactly. Now, the final year, the final 15,000 went into the Kvarim. And then the next day, the announcement was, no, whoever is alive should get up. All 15,000 got up. They said, how could that be? It was Tisha B'Av. You know, we must have made a mistake in the calendar. And they went back to bed the next night on Yudov, and the same thing happened. They all were alive the next day. And until they kept on doing this the next few days, until Chamisha Usvav, the Chamisha Usvav, they had a full moon, and they said, if it didn't happen until now, it must be that the Gezeirah became bottled. And in fact, the Gezeirah was bottled that final year. If you look, take a look at the Rashi, Shekolah Meisei Midbar, 10 lines before the wide line, Shekolah Meisei Midbar, the sign you learned in the Braisa, in the Yerushalmi, Kol Arboim Shana Shoyim,
b'midbar. B'chol erev tishavav, every erev tishavav, hayu hakruz yoytze v'oymer, tzu lachbar. Everybody go out to the cemetery and dig your own grave.
A cruz is heard the gospel.
A cruz is an announcement. Who made the announcement? Typically we talk about Gvini Cruz, but it doesn't have to be. That Gvini Cruz was a person that woke everybody up in the morning and told the Kahanim, get up, Avidaschem, and they get up, the Levim for Shirim Vizimram, and the Israel get up for Mamadais. But I don't know that we're talking about that same individual. In fact, as you know, there's a Machloikis, whether Cruz was Gvini or whether it was a Tarnagol. So I doubt that there was a Tarnagol in Erev Tishabov that was trained to go and say, kakadoodle-doo, that everybody should go and start digging their graves. So there was a Cruz, an announcement was made. Chayikruz Yoitzev Oimer, Tzu Lachbar, everybody go out and dig. He slept that night at the caver. He don't want him to die before he digs his own grave. That would really be a grave situation. So therefore, he dug out the grave. He went to sleep in the grave. Well, again, another announcement. The whoever's alive, get up. He got up. He washed neglavasa, went to shul. He did this every single year. Also, they did the same thing. Everybody got up alive. They came in Shirokach, and as soon as they saw that, Tomu v'yamru, Shema to'inu, v'cheshna chodesh, maybe we made a mistake. Maybe it was really only ches of, and not tishabav. They did this every night until the 15th. When they saw the mili halavana, they knew it must be b'tezlov. That they had the correct cheshbon after all. And therefore that generation made into a yomtiv kivaldik b'chashem. The 15,000 didn't pass away.
15,000 were experienced.
Yes, Chuck.
Maybe they were only practicing social distancing 6 feet.
Uh-huh. Okay, very good. Yes, Brother Shai.
So they had a very easy to remember their parents' yard site because
it was always in Tisha B'Av. Yeah, yeah. Tisha B'Av. Everybody was saying Kaddish. Exactly.
The tikkun was, well, they couldn't have tikkun though because of Tisha B'Av.
Much of Tisha B'Av, everybody contributed to the tikkun. Anyway. What was the Gevaldige Simcha? Says the Gemara, the Yomamach, Lemonu, Kolu, Mesa Midbali, Hadibar, in Moshe. What is astounding from this Gemara is one would think that the tremendous Simcha that we have on Tisha B'Av is that 15,000 people didn't die. But Lahagzeira. Yet the Gemara doesn't say that. You know what the reason why it's such a great yontif? The Yom Rabba B'chon Rabbi Yerichan and Yom Shekolu by Mesim Midbar, the Yom Amar. Actually, they call him Mesim Midbar, how you dibur in Moshe. Shenem vayik asher tamu kol anshim l'chom alomas vayidabar Hashem Eli, Eli how you dibur. The tremendous simcha was that there was now a normal, regular communication between the Kodesh Baruch Hu and Moshe Rabbeinu. Until now, it was all bispaklai she'ena me'ira, or it was at night, it was only a Ruach HaKodesh, but there was no direct dibur. Finally, Elai Adiwa, that was a tremendous simcha. Why is there a simcha that the 15,000 people no longer passed away? Because that was only a temporary simcha for that generation. Those 15,000 doesn't affect us today. However, the fact that Kodesh Baruch Hu was able to talk to Moshe Rabbeinu, this is already a spiritual thing that is a tremendous benefit for all generations, that Kodesh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe and gave him more Torah and more Hadrach, etc. So, this is a thing that makes Chamisha Asa B'Av very, very special. The Gemara on the surface is a little bit schwer, because after all, it says at the end of the 40 years, it sounds like those are the only two survivors.
Right.
But based on our Gemara, the 15,000 plus survivors besides Kalev and besides Yeshua. So Tosis asks this kasha in Masechtas Bav Metzia on Daf Kuf Chof Aleph. You have the same sugya over there, and Tosis asks this question. Says Tosis, Hainami Oysan Shiruyan Lomus. Those that were supposed to die before the Bittul Gzeira, from all of those, they were the only two remainders. However, the last year there was that amnesty, that wasn't, that they weren't part of that original group. Inami, the Tosis says a little bit differently. Inami b'tchila nigzar filo al b'nei chof b'tzimtzum. The Gzeira was on the, from chof, until Samach, 20 until 60. So how old did you have to be? Initially, it was even on those that had just become 20th birthday. They just had their birthday, boom! And now the Nebuch, the Gzeira of the Meraglim, applied to them. For the Psoif, Rechim Olem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, L'Meisu Ala Oysen Shoyu B'Shas Gzeira L'Chol HaPochus B'Nei Esem V'Choydesh. They had to be 20 years old plus one additional month. Why, says Rashi? He says Toises, because we all know Choydesh B'Shona, Choshev Shona, and we learned that from the Masamit Pilgas, that the Pilgas, which is, you know, is Nishtahin and Nishtaher,
right,
when by Keves it's up to 12 months, by Ayil it's 13 months and higher, plus that month in the middle is a Pilgas, is a Gansa Sufik. So it says Toises, same thing applies for Havdol, not only by animals, but also by Bnei Adam, that originally the Gzeira was, even those that were just 20 and a day. And then after that, they changed, the Chedibokh changed in the final year, only those that were 20 and 1 month, and those 15,000 apparently were all during that 30-day period between 20 and a day and 20 and a month, and therefore those 15,000 now became exempt, so the Gzeira was changed. Anyway, Ayin Shem Toisis, getting back to our Gemara.
The
first teretz was that we're talking about those that the Gzeira originally applied to. Toisis says over here, let's go back to the Toisis again. How do you define the original category of those people that, upon whom the Gzeira fell on them? So, based on the end, those 15,000 were never part of the Gzeira to start off with. And so therefore, from those that were the Gzeira, that was only... Ula Amr Yom Shabita Hoshea Ben Ola Pruzdiyois Shahoshiv Yerovim Ben Nevot Ala Drachim Shleyal Yisrael Leregel. Hoshea Ben Ela, Rashi points out on the top, was one of the bad kings of the Malchus Yisrael. He was a Rosh Hoya. Rashi quotes, V'yasa Rab Eli Hashem, Rak Loike Malchus Yisrael. He wasn't as bad as the others, but he was a pretty bad guy. But one of the good things that he did was that he was Mavata the Pruzios. We had Pruzios yesterday in the Gemara. Yeah. Those are the officers, the enforcers, the police that Hoishiv Yerovim Ben Avot Aladrachim, Yerovim put on the roads, V'yali Yisrael Egla, people shouldn't be able to be Oyle Regel. The Omar, the Eidish Yirtsu, Yalu. Now you can go wherever you want. You can go to Yerushalayim, you can go to Tel Aviv, you can go wherever you want. Free travel all over. And that's why people were allowed to go back to Yerushalayim for the Oyle Regel. And that's what one of those, that's another thing that happened, Baruch Hashem, and Chamish Usim Ba'av. And that's why the reason is, Yom Tov Yisrael, because of that momentous event that Hashem and Elu was Mavatel the Pruzios on that day. Metro will continue tomorrow on the other reasons why Chamish Usim Ba'av is such a great Yom Tov. Have a wonderful